Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Now, I'm delighted now to welcome back to the show Tricia Lewis, aka Tricia's Transformation on Instagram. Hi, Tricia.
Hello. How are we?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good.
So, Tricia, you're bringing 100 people on the Camino de Santiago this summer. You did it for the first time yourself last year, and I'd say, fair to say, it was something you never thought you'd do.
Ever. It was, even as I was walking it, I was like, is this actually still happening? So it was surreal because I suppose, you know, I'm on a kind of a weight loss, health journey, and I'm really trying my hardest to get everything kind of reset and resorted from the past. So I remember walking along being like, I couldn't tie my shoelaces 5 years ago, and now I'm doing 125 kilometres through Spain. So it was surreal. Yeah. And that's why I wanted to go back this year, and I'm going to go back next year, and it's magical.
You posted at the time, I did it for me, I did it for the past me, I did it for all the times I didn't love myself, I did it for all the times I couldn't walk with pain.
Yeah. And I kind of, I suppose I surprised myself, and I suppose I that's the kind of start of being very grateful for a second chance that I got in, I suppose, life and health. I thought at one stage it was done, and now I'm like, right, we'll try on the runners and we'll see what a few steps can lead me to.
Yeah, keep putting one foot in front
of
the other.
And yeah, and it's one of the biggest messages, I hope, anyone who's listening, because it's awful to not be able to, I don't know, just even see your worth or to even recognise who you are. So it just took one step a couple of years ago, and I'm keeping at it and I love it.
You went in a group with Roz Purcell last year, I know. You tried to pull out the night before, didn't you?
Yeah. I sent her a very irrational text. I was like, look, this isn't for me. You're a hiker. You have a metabolism that'll, like, so I was like, I can't do it. And I think I was just trying to stop myself because I was terrified. And she was like, okay, no matter, I'll see you at the airport. She was just being the supportive friend, be like, you can do this. She was like, yeah, you can come over and not even do the walk. Just come with me. And I went over, and I swear to God, it was incredible. I remember I kept saying, oh, thanks so much for this. You know, this is amazing. And it was, now I thought it was a bit different because I didn't research it because I was afraid. Do you ever kind of do something? You're like, yeah, I'll do that. And then I'm going to bury my head in the sand and I'll see what happens. So I thought it was like walking around Lanzarote and, you know, it'd be pina coladas and palm trees. But it was actually hills. And I remember one stage she was like, the hike life, Trish. You booked with the hike life. I was like, yeah, fair enough, Roz. Okay. I didn't really think of the verbs.
And then there's the going with the group thing as well. Tell me about the headphones.
So I suppose, you know, I was going with a group of about 80 people, and I was like, I only know Roz, but it's Roz's group. So she's working again, overthinking, lying in bed, being like, sure, I could be killed. I don't know what I'll do. I was like, well, I just pull out, it'll be easier for everyone. So I was like, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to listen to a podcast for weeks. I'll build them all up. I'll download audiobooks, everything. And on day three, I left my headphones back at the hotel, because it was when I was walking along, it was this guy who's chatting away. He was like, oh, I see you've got headphones, and you meet all these amazing people along the walk as well. And he was like, what are you blocking out? And I was like, what do you mean? He was like, you're putting these things into your ears, but, you know, if you're just a bit more present, you might be able to see X, Y, Z. And I walked the last 3 days without headphones, made the best of friends.
And talked to people.
And actually talked. And I was like, because I was like, how does one make friends when you're over 30? I can't be like, do you want to come over here and colour? I was like, what do I do? And it was amazing. And I actually,
and were they judgy? No.
Not one bit. Yeah. Not one bit. That it was like, you know, you actually got to have lovely conversations. And I suppose what I found was you can be exactly who you are at that moment when you're walking, because everybody's in the same boat. Yeah. We're all just trying to get to one destination, and that's it.
See, it's hard to do new things, like, and get out of our comfort zone, isn't it? And then we're usually glad we did, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah. And time it gets proven to me again. But every time before something new, I'm like, but you'll be shamed. They'll think you've notions. Get out of it. Like,
Yeah. Come here. You rang your mother when you got to Santiago, or she rang you, or what did she say to you on the phone?
I just remember I was I didn't think I was going to be emotional or anything like that, but my God, they got me going down the steps in by the cathedral. It was like these bagpipes are playing, and you just finished and you were like, I can take the backpack
off. Was it just for you? They put on a special bagpiper, yeah.
And if they're not there this year, it'll be a serious letter of complaint. No, I presume it's for everyone. Like, it is for everyone. That is not a presumption, that's a fact. And I remember I rang her and I said, ma'am, I'm just about to, you know, finish it off. And she said, I have just one thing to say to you. From the casino to the Camino, did you ever think you'd do it? She's like, I'm so proud of you. And that kind of goes back on my past. I struggled a bit with gambling in the casino. And, you know, it was just a simple letter changed, and how, And it just meant so. And then, of course, I was bawling. I was like, ma'am, stop it. Yeah. And she was like, make sure you go in and get mass. I was like, I will.
Was travel hard for you when you were kind of at your worst? Or is it something you would have held yourself back from? Yeah.
Awful. It was really, really bad because I suppose, like everybody, we all want to travel in comfort. And I had to kind of get a seatbelt extension. And I suppose in hindsight, I should have booked two seats for a lot of the flights, but I didn't have the money. I was flying, you know, and like, I don't want to be booking two seats. I want to go away and have a glass of wine and wherever I was going. And there was a couple of times where it was very difficult. It was one particular flight. I remember I was on it. And I remember thinking at the time I was made of a lot of stones, but I wasn't made of stone. And this couple beside me were elbowing and they were kind of huffing and puffing. And I was kind of up against the window being like, sure, I'm pure tiny. How are you getting on, lads? I was just so afraid, but I knew what was going to happen. And they'd called the air assist down and they were saying like, this is disgusting. We need to move. Her skin is touching us. And why are we suffering for her greed? All these. And I remember just sitting there being like, I couldn't defend myself because I think at the time, I felt so guilty for who I was. I was like, yeah, they're right. I shouldn't, you know. But now when I look back, you know, it was about an hour and a half of flight. We'd have been able to sort it without kind of shaming me. But I suppose...
But you had the shame as well.
They were just reaffirming every demon that I had, that I was like, do you know what? You're dead right. But thankfully, I've gone back and I'm able to fly now. I still have anxiety. I'll still have a seatbelt extender in my bag just in case, even though I don't need it, thank God. But I still have that fear of having to ask and it being waved at you down the plane. And so I just think if anyone is ever maybe sitting beside somebody and you're uncomfortable, I can guarantee you the other person is 10 times more uncomfortable. Just to be kind.
Yeah. So do you have to ask for a seatbelt extender?
All the time. I'd say the first time it ever happened, I kind of hid it on a flight under my jumper once. I think I was going to a match in Enfield about 15 years ago. So it was a solid 12 years I had to get a seatbelt extender. And the tray, I never really had a cup of tea on a plane until about 2 years ago. The tray wouldn't come down. And I would just, you know, get a window seat so I wasn't in anyone's way. It was a complete, you know, anxiety before you go anywhere. And then about 4 days into whatever trip I might go on, I'd be like, right, let's start thinking what bus seat. And I remember one time I paid extra for leg room and I hadn't realised you're not allowed to sit in the emergency exit seats if you have a seatbelt extender, and they had to move me and the flight was full and someone had to swap. And I was just standing there and I was like a target. But I suppose nobody was saying anything, but it was just at the time well, I would like for this emergency exit door to open. So I can just pop run out. I can fish.
So listen, this year you're leading the group to the Camino. How did that happen?
I don't know if there are 100 wise people or mad people, but they've decided to come along with me. I kind of said it on Instagram last year, but like, look, can you imagine I might bring a group out? And then I slowly started thinking about it and I was like, you know what, I'll go for it. So I'm bringing 106 people out to Sarria and we're going to walk from Sarria to Santiago and we're going to do bit by bit and there's no race. It's at their own leisure and we're going to have the best crack ever. And it's a group of like-minded people, I suppose, who all want to better themselves.
So what kind of people are they? What are they looking for out of this?
I think they're looking for a moment of stillness, a moment of maybe a reset, a moment of gathering with people who are along maybe similar journeys or can understand. And there's kind of mothers and daughters, there's friends going just for the sheer crack of it, for the glass of Pinot Grigio at the end. But there's, I think people are going for nearly like an ultimate reset to go, right, I'm going to go for myself, I'm going to fill my cup up and I'm going to do a hard thing I probably taught myself a long time ago I wouldn't. And then I suppose they've probably seen me do it last year and they're like, right, if she can get up and down those hills, I will. And I'll make sure that everybody who goes, that they're allowed to struggle, but they're not allowed to give up. That, you know, if they've given me their all, grand. And if they say it at 1 second, I'm done, not a bother. Because I think there's nothing worse than an irrational pressure. But I'll just make sure, I'll ask them twice, are you sure? And we get them up the hills and it's going to be so exciting.
So these would be your transformers, they're kind of your tribe. And it's about, it's not about like, I'm going to lose a load of weight. It's about, I'm going to try and make my life better, little steps at a time. Is that
right? And have a moment to actually think maybe what's going wrong, what am I doing, you know, have time to think. And I think that weight loss is always part of my life and it can be sometimes so boring that I get up in the morning and I feel like Rain Man, open the scales, protein, macros, there's numbers all around a blackboard in my head. That this for me is this moment where I stop and I genuinely just go and walk and we talk and we go from it there and let a byproduct be maybe a weight loss journey or not even that, a health gaining, to walk along and be like, right, I deserve more and I want to come back maybe in 2 years and I want to feel a bit fitter and I want to feel a bit better. And the whole Camino is 825 kilometres long. So my goal is to eventually get it all done. But like everything in life, bit by bit, step by step.
And give me a sense of what it's like along the road then. So it's not pina coladas walking around Lanzarote, but it's not raw, hard hiking all the time either. Like,
no, not at all. It's kind of like through every kind of terrain you can think of. It's like along a road, in through woods, at the back of a Spanish farm. I took so many photos last year, sending it to Dad, be like, show Mam the Spanish cow. And they were delighted with it. So they were like, getting the fab, they look as healthy. And it could be in through a town, it could be through a village. You could be walking for 5 kilometres with nothing around you, but it could be eucalyptus trees. So it's all different terrains. But like, I personally wore a pair of runners last year. Like, there's certain parts of it you'll need hiking boots, but I didn't. I was like, no, it'd be fine. So, but then there's coffee shops. So it's not this, like, we have to do 25 kilometres some of the days. But just break it up into 5 5Ks and we'll get there. Do you know? So you can stop, have a cup of coffee, have a, I don't know, a pastel and that, whatever you need. No, that's Portugal. I'm in the wrong country now, but we'll figure it out. Yeah. Patis Bravas.
Exactly.
Imagine people like, get out of here, don't have them. You'll have to walk to Portugal.
They'd be highly offended.
But it's fabulous. And I would say the word, it was said to me before, spiritual. And I was like, what do you mean by that?
Yeah.
I was like, what does that even, like, I don't want to be haunted. I'd be scared if I felt there was any bit of spirit around me. But I get it. It's a stillness. It's a, you know, people when they walk along and they bring a pebble, and that pebble is meant to represent something that may be a burden or an upset in your life, or some people have lost people and they're walking with their ashes. Like, it makes you realise, I realise my problems aren't as half as what I thought they were. So as you walk along, you see people, and the whole object is to drop the pebble when you feel you're able to leave a go and move on. So you're walking past some scenes where people are upset, they're happy, they're dancing. So what I mean by it's spiritual, emotions were hitting me that I didn't think would it. Do you know? Like, I was standing looking at someone and just smiling, which I suppose if I do that here in Dublin, they'd be like, what's wrong with you? One. Whereas over there it was just normal and it was just lovely. And I met the most wonderful people who all just, we were all walking in one direction, different paces in every walk of life.
Yeah, there is nothing more spiritual than a good long walk, to be honest, yeah. So is the walking hard going? Like, are you in training?
Yeah, so at the moment, no. Again, I kind of do this thing where I'm like, right, I'll get 400 kilometres done by August, and then it comes to July, I'm like, we'll just cut it now to about 150. So I'm doing, every day I'm kind of doing a bit of strength training, so to make sure I strengthen up my ankles, my legs, my hip flexors, because there's a lot of uphill and downhill. What goes up must come down, which was what was kept said to me. I was like, great, but we still have to go uphill.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get as much kilometres as I can done now with a bag on my back, because you have to carry your sunscreen and walking poles and stuff. So every day I'm trying to walk maybe 6-7 kilometres, and then at the weekends a longer walk. But I suppose the most important thing that I've added this year that I didn't add last year is the strength training, just to try and get my muscles as strong as possible, that I don't, you know, my ankle is stable and stuff like that.
Okay.
And it's fantastic.
Any other tips
it's like
for people
playground.
Who are thinking of doing it?
I would say don't be afraid of it. It's going to be hard, but what's hard is always worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And just to get as much kilometres into your runners as possible. Not even necessarily to train the legs, it's to train the mind to be like, I can do it. I can do 10 kilometres on a Saturday in Wicklow. I can do 20 kilometres with a group in Spain. And just to make sure you're fueling properly. I think last year one of my really weird fears was, but should they run out of your bread and ham and cheese and I'll gain weight? And all this kind of, I suppose, diet culture kind of thing was going into my head. And then my coach was like, Trisha, please make sure you enjoy the food, sit, be present. And I suppose that's the biggest advice I have. If anyone's going, just to be present, to sit in the moment out there. And, you know, we can all diet when we come back. Do the Camino and do it at your full purpose. And the biggest thing is to believe in yourself, that it's doable. If I did it last year, cancelling the day before, and to end up rebooking it this year, and I'll rebook it next year and go next year twice. I'm doing 2 ways next year. It's the biggest advice I have is book it and then worry about, I don't know, ask for forgiveness afterwards before you ask for permission.
What did you get out of it last year?
I got, I suppose, the power of being present. I had to get that back. I suppose I work an awful lot on social media and on my phone, and I'm nearly always kind of looking into the phone. It was that moment where I put my phone into my backpack, got rid of my headphones, and I actually realised being present, the time went slower. It was lovely. I got gratitude. I got great for what I'd done for myself, what my, I suppose, my family had for me. Like, the texts coming in every day. They were like, oh, we get on, Trish. And I became so grateful for who I had in my corner. And I suppose I just got pride. I was so proud walking in to the cathedral. I was like, the bagpipes. I was like, oh my God, this is incredible. And I suppose it was those moments when you look back and you go, did you actually do that? And it was fabulous. And I didn't get sunstroke. I was delighted for that.
Well done.
I had this incredibly awful looking hat on me that I got on 2 days before it. That quickly my father, when I came back, he was like, I love that hat. I nearly died. I was like, okay, deleting every photo I have wearing of that.
Yeah, but sun management is key. You don't want to be out for a day or anything.
No.
Have you taken up driving as well?
Well, jack of all trades, master of none, Brendan. How long is that piece of paper?
The thing is, I feel most of us, even if we aren't transforming ourselves, like, did you go on driving with strangers? Terrifying. Like, you'd be martyr, like.
So embarrassed, especially because I thought it was going and, you know, they show us, but you have to partner up with somebody you don't know. So while they're teaching steps, you have to weirdly hold hands. And then it's like, oh, my palms are getting a bit sweaty here. So I took it up because I suppose I'm trying to find hobbies that don't involve being on the phone, going out to pubs, maybe restaurants, because I'm trying to still get my goal. And I find alcohol doesn't really agree with me as much as other people. I get a bit down from it. So I wanted to find a social scene. So I've joined golf. So getting into golf program, I did that again. And I joined driving. So, and I absolutely adore it. Now, considering I would only need 5 or 6 drinks before I'd even get on the dance floor in Reardon's and Cork, I wouldn't. Like, it would be like, I need about an hour to warm up by myself in the corner to be like, where does the leg go? To now actually going to most classes now, and I'm going around the place and it is amazing. And I'm getting the steps a little bit. Do you know, they might be left, right, and they should be left, right, but I'm getting there. And it's a lovely social scene. It's meeting people my own age and, you know, it's sometimes like that. It's very hard to make friends when you're a bit older because everybody's in couples and, you know, I'm single myself, so maybe, you never know, there could be Mr. Driver there for me. I don't know. But what I'm getting from it at the moment is great fun and just social, a social scene that doesn't involve drinking.
Yeah, and you're golfing as well.
Terribly. I'd say there's more holes in
Listen, everyone golfing is golfing terribly. Like, they have moments, but generally they're not happy, I gather.
Like, okay, Trisha, there's no need to swear when it goes wrong. But I'm like, well, why is my golf club in the tree? Or golf club in the tree? Yeah, so there's a getting into golf program that I was advertising in the local Mitchelstown Golf Club. And I was like, do you know what? I'll chance it. Again, it was lovely. It was 2 hours out in the evening chatting to people, not on your phone. Because I think, however much I love my phone with my social media, it takes us away from chatting and laughing and any news, that kind of thing. So, yeah, so I'm doing golf. So you never know, I could be either in the Olympics or I could be...
Or not.
I thought you said or not. I was like, all right, we'll go for the
state. Yeah, that too. You know, I'm going to go and try something.
No,
it's inspirational. You're right. Like, we get stuck in our ways. We should try new things. Presumably, people can follow your progress on the Camino on your Instagram.
They can. So my Instagram page is Trisha's Transformation. And I think you were chatting there about changing, you know, from I have to go to work to I get to. Your thoughts become your reality. And it's so important.
Okay.
And if you keep watering the negative thoughts, they get bigger. Just for a second, say, I'm alive. I'm breathing.
And today I got to talk to Trisha Lewis.
And I got to talk to Brendan and Marty. Let's.
Yeah. The dream. Living the dream.
Thank you.